Welcome to the Ladies of Liverpool podcast.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
Ladies of Liverpool.
With Leanne Campbell.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in to Ladies of Liverpool. Available on Spotify and iTunes. Tell all your friends just to go and find ladiesofliverpool.com. You can listen to all the past episodes on that as well. Now, we do welcome the men and the women. And I think this week's episode is definitely for both. You can put this on loudspeaker. You can even shout, Alexa, play Ladies of Liverpool, and you'll be able to tune in there. So we've got a big star, Miss Chrissy Rock, a friend of mine who has always got a great story to tell. We're performing together at the moment, so I thought I'd grab her into the studio, talk to her about a past and a present and a future as well. She tells a tale of how one minute you can be homeless, the next minute a huge star on TV. I think we all know life can be pretty unpredictable, so sit back and listen to the life of Chrissy Rock.
Ladies of Liverpool.
Everything Liverpool.
Everything for ladies.
So she's here. You know you're guaranteed a good laugh. So if you are in public listening to this with your little earphones in, you're going to make a total show of yourself. Chrissy Rock. Chrissy, thank you for being a Lady Liverpool on our podcast today.
Oh, thanks, Leah.
We are having a ball at the minute. We're doing Achy Breaky Bride. I said I'd find out the actual dates and times and shows.
I think it's the 4th till the 8th, isn't it?
Is it? It's not like you to remember
Tuesday, and it was Tuesday.
Yep, so it's this Tuesday we open, and we've got a show that night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night.
Saturday afternoon and Saturday night.
There you go. Go to theatreroyal.com or St. Helens, theatreroyal.com. Yeah. Something like that.
All the years we've worked there, we still don't know the address.
If you just Google Theatre Royal St. Helens, you'll get all the details there. Or just find Theatre Royal St. Helens on Facebook and Twitter. But we are there. We're going to move in a couple of days. For now, we're rehearsing. What are you thinking of Achy Breaky Bride, our country musical set in the bridal shop?
I think it's dead unusual.
Yeah.
It's different. And it's funny.
It is funny. Well, it's going to be funny. It's got you in it. We have cried.
Yeah, but I only come
we?
In and out. I'm like Marley's ghost in and out, in and out.
How many parts do you play in the whole thing?
I feel like the seven faces of Eve. I play Liz, Tara.
Yeah.
I play about 4 or 5 parts.
So basically, we're in a bridal shop. I own the bridal shop. And in come different brides all with different stories to tell. At the forefront, I'm going through my own little love, sadness and whatever. But amidst the sad love story, you've got all this comedy which happens, and we know everyone's love story, especially once it's over, once the heartache's over, there's always a funny spin, isn't there, on relationship.
And it's good for country and western people.
Well, yeah.
Because all the songs are country and western.
We had a music rehearsal yesterday and we didn't have a clue, did we? Do you know the songs that you've heard? And you can nod along to it, but you don't know the words.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we were doing yesterday. So we're like, we're made up with ourselves now. We can sing country and western. So if we're ever passing a karaoke bar, we're good to go. But talking of love, let's start with you and your love life, first of all. So, been married a few times, Chrissy.
I know. This is my 3rd time. Lucky.
Hopefully. Loves the cake, don't you, love?
I
loved
it. I never had a cake on none of them. And we had one. That one.
So, go on, talk us through. Did you have big weddings, small weddings? Did you marry knowing it was probably not going to last? Or did you think this was the one every time?
I think when you get married, you think it's going to last anyway.
Yeah.
Until you realise.
What? Go on.
There's 3 rings to manage: engagement ring, wedding ring, and suffering.
And then you hit the eject button and legged it.
You go, what?
What was it doing there?
I know. So, I mean, the first one, I was very young, and then that didn't work out. And then the second one, I waited a while to get married again. And I thought I was doing the right thing, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
And God love him, he was an alcoholic.
Nice.
And I was 28 years there. And in the end, I wasn't his wife anymore. I was like his mother.
Yeah. And it all changed.
I mean, he's harmless enough. Mm. And there, by the grace of God, go any of us. But I couldn't be there anymore.
28 years, though, Chrissy.
I know. I was so angry with myself when I left. I thought, why didn't I go sooner? But he was ill.
Yeah.
And it is an illness.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I haven't seen him for about 15, 20 years, but I still pray.
Yeah.
I pray, you know, that he finds his sobriety. If he does, he does. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I wouldn't like to see him again, because I think if I've seen him drunk, which probably is, I couldn't cope with it. Feeling sad that he didn't get
get the help he needed. It's nice for you to think you've walked away and in your mind, maybe he has found a way to...
You know, maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. Yeah. But it was just, I couldn't deal with it anymore. It was just, I was tired of picking the pieces up. And then I'm a big member of Al-Anon, which is for families who are related to alcoholics. And I still have the book, The Courage to Change, because what you don't realise is you think they're on the bottom, but they're not. You're on the bottom and they're on top of you and you're their crutch.
Yeah.
And they were addicted to drink and you become addicted to them.
Yeah.
And it just becomes a whirlwind of horribleness, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you're angry. And then when they're asleep, you think, you know, if you had cancer, would you walk away?
When you think of it like an illness, yeah.
Because it is like a cancer of the soul, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I still pray for him, you know, and hope he finds what he's looking for.
Ladies of Liverpool.
So that was how long ago? 15 years ago?
15 years ago, I left.
So when you were really down to the point where you knew you had to move on.
Yeah.
Then all this lovely stuff came into your life after that, didn't it?
I know. I met him three and a half years ago and I thought, you know.
So it was ages afterwards when you found love again.
See, in this business, it's a very lonely life in this business. So you become used to being on your own and you don't depend on anybody. Mm-hmm. And it is... you know, a lonely life, living out of a suitcase, you know, going all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of get used to being on your own. And then when you go home, you get a bit selfish, really, because you just like your own company.
Yeah.
You think, I can do now what I want to do because your life's programmed for you. So when I met Julian, I really didn't realise that I'd end up with him.
So where did you meet him? How did you cross paths?
I was in Benidorm and I love ABBA.
Mm.
Love ABBA to bits.
Yeah.
And there was two girls over in Benidorm that done ABBA nights and they were fabulous. They were the only ones I ever went to see.
Yeah.
So they were either on before me or after me. And I was coming home and they all come round and say ta-ras and all that. And then we were all sitting there and before we knew it, there was just me and... this man
and I'm like, that you'd acquired
something I've said. I felt like Judas did Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm like, what? So I said, oh, I thought you was with Tina. No, just friends.
Yeah.
So he was telling me about his problems and I thought, oh God. And I went, look, well, you can't cross the road until the traffic's clear. And, you know, open the curtains to look out the window. But I never dreamt in a million years that I'd end up with him. I really didn't.
So where's he from? What's his background?
He's from Norfolk, so we're like chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
And then he said, well, we'll stay friends. And then he gave me his phone number and then he went and I went. And months went by and I never even gave him a ring, God love him.
Oh.
And then I went back and then... all these people, can I have a photo, can I have a photo?
Yeah.
And he's 6'4", so there was all these people queuing and then I just seen this big person in the middle and I went, oh God, Julian. And he went, it was all made up that I recognised him. Well, it's hard to miss.
And so they just all started from there?
Yeah. And he said, me and my friend Margie were walking past this thing and there were all these paintings on the wall of Venice.
Oh, yeah.
And I said to Margie, that's my bucket list, Venice.
Mm.
And he went, well, I'll take you to Venice. I went, really? And I'm looking, thinking, don't even go there.
You won't get in the gondola with them legs.
He said, on one condition.
Mm.
And I went, what? He said, you don't bring a bag, you don't bring a purse, you don't bring any money. And I said, well, I'm not getting dumped in the middle of Venice with nothing and swimming home.
No, because your nan always told you, put enough money in your bra to get your taxi home on a date.
Yeah.
So go on.
But then he said, I've never been married. And I said, and I've never had any children. And I said, was you in jail? because it's like unusual to find somebody that age never been married. Yeah. Like they've just come out of a convent or jail. So we just became friends, really. And then he said, I've never been married, and if I was going to ever get married, and everyone said, he'll never marry.
No.
And when he married me, I was like, oh, my God. So but he's 10 years younger than me.
Oh, is he now?
Yeah.
So was it like a little low-key wedding, or did you do
we had a big wedding.
Did you?
Yeah.
Go on, tell me all.
I went to Stockport Plaza Theatre, which is a 1930s theatre.
Yeah.
And we had a 1930s wedding, and we got this car, which was like an old-fashioned car, not a 30s car.
Yeah.
And my mate's husband drove us to the theatre and we got a photograph taken and it was in the paper. And on the front is a disabled patch. I was crying. I didn't even notice it.
So that's like your wedding picture. Only like, no. You, Chrissy. Oh. Only you. So did it make the echo, that picture?
No, it made something. I don't know what
the
it
OK
made.
Magazine, knowing you now.
I think it was a big issue. And next thing was we had everyone went on a red carpet. I wanted everyone to see what it was like.
Yeah.
And everyone turned up in black or white and black and white. It was a lovely day. We had high tea, black and white movie, popcorn,
isn't that
dogs,
a fabulous idea?
And they all got a ticket to go in, and then they all got a tour of the theatre.
Oh,
it was just amazing.
So what did Julian make of all of your scouse mates?
He was crying.
Did you think everyone was hysterical?
Oh, he loves Liverpool, and we made him an official scouse, so we gave him a box with the. I went to the joke shop and got him the tracksuit.
Oh yeah, the shell suit.
The shell suit, and I got him a scouse passport. And it's put eyes too, you know, all things like that. And we got him a little wheelie bin, which is I'm wheelie from Liverpool.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So is this a third time lucky?
Yeah.
You're definitely
no
madly in love.
Well, yeah. You know.
Like all of us. Well, you'll do.
No. He is like my best mate. He makes me laugh and... You know, we're talking cheesy, he's posh. And everyone was going, what's he doing, Barry? And his mum and dad think the world of us, yeah.
Oh, good.
But I said, because we don't argue, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's no need to argue.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned round and I said to him, look, when I was married for the second time, I said, I only ever had one argument. And it lasted 28 years and I couldn't do it again.
Mm.
So it's like, you know, something happens and you can either say, that's the fire and that's petrol. Now, I can either put the petrol on the fire or move the petrol away. So I care to move the petrol away.
Yeah.
But he's a very matter-of-fact man. Mm-hmm. He's not like me. Oh, shala-shana.
Yeah.
He's very matter-of-fact.
He's the yin to your yang, isn't he?
I know.
So loads listen to this, Chrissy, are going to remember you from Benidorm. But, of course, it all started well before Benidorm for you. So how did you get into the whole acting thing?
It was by accident. I started off as a comedian and then Ricky Tomlinson was doing auditions for all the acts in Liverpool for the film. And people like us don't go in films, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And
you've got to have one of these big agents, haven't you, in London,
just an extra, and I'm going, oh, I can't be bothered.
Yeah.
Anyway, I ended up getting the lead part in Lady Bird, and I couldn't believe it. And then it just sort of went from there. And then after a while, I got sick and left my husband, and it was horrendous. I lived in a car for 4 months, and I just thought, where's my... You know, you look at this... CV on the internet and you go, who's that person? Supposed to be worth this.
Like unrecognisable,
you know, going to work and living in a car.
So you were doing your gigs?
Yeah, and living in a car.
Living in your car?
Yeah. I left everything behind and then I just thought, bugger this, and I went to Benidorm and
And you were doing the club circuit in Benidorm
yeah,
then?
Yeah, well, when I got into that, it was, I walked in and I said, excuse me, I'm a comedian. This fellow went, everybody's a bloody comedian in Benidorm. Fuck off. And I went, oh, no. And I said, I'll work for you for 3 days for nothing.
Yeah.
And if you like me, on the fourth day, you can pay me. Well, the money was horrendous. It was just like not even worth turning up for, but it ticked it over. And I went on the first night, went on the second night. On the third night, he had to lock the door. Couldn't let any more in.
Because it was jam-packed.
It was jam-packed. And then after that, I'd never really looked back.
Fabulous.
And then I come out of the club one night where they actually do Neptunes. And two men and a woman were sitting there and they said, can I have a word with you? My name's Darren Litton and I've wrote this thing and I think it'd be amazing to play this manageress. And that's how it started.
That's a lovely story, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they actually came to you.
Yeah.
You were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And did you love every minute of being on Benidorm?
Yeah, I did love it. But then after a while, you got other things coming in and you think, do I really want to spend 3... Because I wanted to come home then.
Yeah.
And one minute, my grandchildren were babies and then next thing, they're adults. And you go, oh, God, where's them years I've lost?
Well, I can remember us rehearsing years ago doing Cinderella.
Oh, my God.
At the Royal Court. And your little ones used to come in then and they were babies then.
They're all adults now.
Your girls and their babies would come in and see it. And then we were caught up in Christmas madness like we always are. But we've got some lovely memories of that show, haven't we?
Remember when we all got a ticket outside? We were all parked outside.
I don't even think you can put your cars there now, can you? You've got bollocks. But we used to creep in, didn't we, and put our cars there.
But we thought, well, it's on the boundaries of it.
Yeah, there's no lines.
Me.
Was it the musical director?
The musical director in the pit. And someone said, you better get out there, you're all getting tickets.
But well, this is mid-show, isn't it? We're in the middle of doing a panto to a packed audience.
And it was in the paper, remember
we all
that?
Come out kicking off at
Cinderella's
them.
Cinderella's chief after. Followed by the fairy godmother smacking them with the wand.
But I'm Cinderella coming out, going to them, yeah, well, it takes a saying, can't you pay to do that job? You're doing a Christmas fine in us. Then this one comes running out behind me with the wand and a ciggy in one hand.
I'm going, you should be ashamed of yourself, picking up people wearing, you know, yeah, go fuck yourself. And the musical director's going, make sure I don't get a ticket and leave us alone.
Hey, yeah, we didn't get a ticket.
Sleep at night.
We didn't get a ticket, though. I'm sure we chased them. Did we get a ticket? I can't remember paying a ticket.
I can't remember.
I think we scared them off. I just remember the buses pulling into Queen Square at the same time and everyone walking. Getting off and getting photographs
I
of
know.
Us.
Oh, shame.
I know.
He's somewhere in the iCloud.
I think that made the echo, that one.
It did. Shame of it.
The shame of us.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Ladies of Liverpool.
What about this, the real Full Monty you've just done?
Oh, that was amazing.
Everyone was talking about you in this.
Well, what happened was, they come and asked me, and it was a bit like the Secret Service. You couldn't tell anybody you were doing it and all this. And it's an awareness. It's not... It wasn't for charity, it was for awareness, to make cancer more aware. So we got together, and when I first saw the dance routine, I thought, there's no way I'm going to ever do that.
No, because you hate doing the dances, don't you? You just like doing your own thing.
Feet. Yeah. And especially when diversity is doing it, and you're like, what? Ashley Banjo's
throwing himself everywhere.
Oh, my God. So anyway, we did do it, and it was amazing. But the funniest thing was, the young girls have had all the boobs done.
Yeah.
And going, oh, I don't know whether I can show these. And I'm going, the price you paid for them, I'd never have them covered up.
Get them out.
And we had to get our bodies painted. Well, it was dead funny. So we got in this room, there's all the people and everything.
Mm.
So I thought, well, you got to just, to get your body painted, you got to take your dressing gown off.
Yeah.
And I stood there, not a stitch on. And all the others were had little things covered over them. I went, oh, just me again.
So they painted you?
Yeah.
You got painted. You learned a dance routine.
Yeah.
You did the whole thing.
But it was amazing on the night.
I know everyone was just like overwhelmed by the whole thing, whether they'd been affected by breast cancer or whether, like you say, it just made them more aware of it. It was showing you how to check your breasts properly. Yeah. And, you know, it does seem to be... like an epidemic at the minute. The amount of young women with so much to live for.
I know.
You know, finding out that they've got breast cancer.
But I had vulva cancer, you see, so I was trying to make vulva cancer more aware.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, God, it was like forever ago. But I was treated for thrush for 3 years.
And no one knew what it was?
I said, doctor, I'm not being funny. If I have any more yoghurt, I think I'll go to yodel. And they sent me to the Royal. And I had to go to this, is it STU or something? But it's amalgamated.
Right.
And I'm sitting there with the ticket with the number on, flicking through a magazine, blind as a bat, and it says, have you got AIDS? I thought, I'm in a VD clinic here.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And they said, no, it amalgamates into one.
And so they were just investigating at this point what was going on with you.
And then they had to go down and be put asleep. And then they said, yeah, I had melanoma of the vaginal vulva. And I went, I haven't got a vulva, I've got a master. I thought they meant to. I never knew it was called that. Because you know you.
I haven't got a vulva.
I know, I thought, vulva, I said, I thought it was vulva. Because when I'm 60 odd now, and you never talk like that.
No.
You know, it was like, put your legs down, showing off.
Yeah, you didn't say, it's like vulva.
No,
you in public.
Know what it was?
No. So is that like a type of, because you said melanoma, is that like
skin cancer?
Skin cancer.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was reading about this recently, about checking the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet and all the places you don't think to look.
I know. But it's just unbelievable. And it's so sad because sometimes if you catch anything quick, it can be cured.
Mm.
You know, if you catch it quick, pray to God. But if you leave it and leave it and leave it, you know, it's like prostate cancer for men. It's the most curable cancer.
Yeah.
If you catch it. But they're going, oh, no, I don't fancy the examination of it. For that seconds of the examination, it could save your life.
It's like these smear tests, you know, the young ones saying, oh, I couldn't go and get that done.
I know.
3 minutes, get it done.
I know, because by the time it takes you to make a cup of coffee, it's over
done.
And done with.
Yeah, you're outside, not at the doctor's, are you? And thinking, oh, yeah, what's just happened there? Yeah, get a pasty.
Ladies of Liverpool. Everything Liverpool. Everything for ladies.
So you've had a brilliant couple of years. We've seen it all over the telly and you're living your best life. You found love, which is fabulous. You're doing this fantastic play at the St. Helens Theatre Royal, which is going to be a sellout, to get your tickets now. But what else are you looking forward to? What have you got coming up that you're allowed to talk to us about?
Well, I'm doing Dirty Dustin again.
Thought you were going to say January. Dirty Dancing then?
No, Dirty Dustin, and that's in January. Then I'm doing a play, Right Place, Wrong Time. Me and Leah Bell wrote a play, and that's all over the country from October.
Brilliant.
And I've also wrote for TV, hoping to get it commissioned, Tunstall Flyers.
Tell me about this then.
It's all about this pub called the Moody Cow, and it's fallen down because of the smoking ban and the area and everything.
Which we see so much around Liverpool, these boarded up pubs, don't we?
But it's all about these women who end up forming a darts team, and it's all about their lives, how they come together every Tuesday to play darts.
Right, okay.
But it branches off into their lives as well.
Mm.
And it's quite funny and quite sad.
Oh, lovely.
Got, like, the shoplifters coming round the pubs and going, do you want any meat, ma? Go on, give us a bit of lamb.
I love it.
And he says, she said, I want a leg. There's more meat on this. There's more fat on this than a Weight Watchers glass. So he's going, oh, the legs are on a tag. But I couldn't believe it when I went to Iceland.
Yeah.
And the leg, the lamb, were on tags.
Yeah. Have you not heard of the leg of lamb man?
No.
He was legging it in, shoving a few legs of lamb down his kecks and selling them. I think it was in the Wetherspoons facing. Yeah. And he was known as the leg of lamb man.
Yeah.
So if you saw him, you knew. Down his kecks, he had the Sunday roast ready for you. But he had the spuds in his jacket and the carrots in his armpits.
Oh,
and he come out, you got your full roast in on a Saturday afternoon.
Well, I couldn't believe it neither, because my granddaughter Danielle's just had a baby.
Oh, now I feel old.
I know, I'm a great-grandmother, and his name's Sonny.
Oh,
and
cute.
And he's the tiniest little thing. Yeah. I call him my little pea. And when I said, oh, what's the matter with his leg? They have tags on in the hospital. I went, oh, let's hope that's the only one you'll ever have.
No, yeah, hope he doesn't get another tag as he gets bigger. Yeah.
They have tags on.
Yeah, so you can't, even the moment you can't take them out the hospital until they tell you you can, yeah.
And I was like, God.
It's all changed, Chrissy, isn't it? All changed since you had your ones.
And you can only make one bottle now where we had piles of them in the fridge.
Yeah, no, you can't. You've got to make them up one by one and everything. We've got your show to look forward to. Hopefully we're going to see that on the telly, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
St. Helens Theatre Royal, all next week. Get your tickets. Bring the girls. It's going to be an absolute ball. See Chrissy at her finest, playing a million different characters all in the one show. And she even sings you a country and western song.
Oh, wow.
It's my best bit of the show, I'll be honest. So join us down there. Thanks again, Chrissy. You've been a star. Thanks, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Ta-da.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe now
via the iTunes Store. Hear more from the Ladies of Liverpool via ladiesofliverpool.com.